Hello, my friends. Hello, my life warriors, wherever you are in the world. Welcome to the Day In, Day Out podcast. Woo! Today on episode 152, I had the pleasure to have Darius Teeper on the podcast. He is a young fledgling podcaster, new to the world. And yes, I had the joy and pleasure to have him on today. His podcast is indeed. We talked about why he started his podcast, what was his motivations, what he wants to do with the podcast in the future, as well as talking about other things such as films and who he would have in what film he would change to have the entire cast of Muppets. It was a good podcast, had a great time, and I look forward to speaking to him again in the future. Please sit back, enjoy the podcast, and don't forget to subscribe. Have a good one, guys. Woo! Bye bye. Enjoy the show. Hello, my friends. Hello, my life warriors, wherever you are in the world. Welcome to the Day In, Day Out podcast. Woo! Today on episode 152, I am very lucky and fortunate to have Darius Teeper. He is a baby podcaster fresh out into the world. His podcast is called Darius Does It. How are you today, sir?
I'm doing great. Like I said, pretty early, but got some good sleep, so I'm ready.
I have to ask, what made you decide to get into this whole crazy world of podcasting?
There's a few shows that I always just watch, and by shows I mean podcasts, and I just like it. I like the flow of conversation, hearing different opinions, stories. It's a switch up from listening to the same music all the time. And because I enjoyed it so much and I religiously listen to 3 or 4 each week, I'm like, why not do my own? Because people like to hear me talk, you know? And so, I've just always had like the mindset of turning things that are passions into sources of income. So I was like, why not do this? That's what got me into it.
So what is your sort of subject matter you cover in your podcast?
So mine is just kind of like a free-for-all. So like I know like the last one I recorded, that one's gonna be over cults. Like like organizations.
Okay, right.
that's just the main topic we recorded because it was something that had interested me like the last few weeks, just like looking into it. And I was like, why not talk about it on my podcast, you know? Mm-hmm. And so it's just kind of like some of the other ones. I had an audio engineer on. And so we talked a lot about producing and music and everything like that. But it's kind of like how you're doing, where it depends on your guest. And I think those are the best. They say it's good to narrow down to one niche so you have a core audience.
Yes.
But all 4 podcasts I listen to are just, having fun and having a different flow of conversation, whether it be comedians or just normal people. So I feel like that's what would suit me the best.
About cults, that is crazy. It's like, I'm kind of intrigued to like, so what did you learn? But no, I let other people to find you out there. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I will say one thing about it. What got me like somewhat interested in is I used to be in network marketing or like the MLM. And some people say a pyramid scheme, some people not. It's a whole debate. But I was like, in some way or form, those are kind of a cult. And I was like, let me state this. Let me get some facts behind it. And so then I started watching documentaries. I spent a whole week just learning about cults. And then I talked about it, so it was pretty fun.
Oh, no. You know what? When you say that the pyramid schemes marketing, I can't remember what the sort of direct term is, where you get your like family, friends, and then whoever else.
Yeah.
And then like, oh yeah, you make such so much money. I was invited to one of those here in London. And I was like, yeah, first time on Instagram, this was like years ago. And I was like, okay, saw that. I had some time free and the place where it was right. quite local to me. Yeah, I walked into there. The pitch come fast and it came hard and quick, my friend. Hard and quick.
Oh yeah, they get straight to business.
Oh yeah, and like yeah, this lady was like looking at me like, yeah, me went look, like if you join, you can be on this level before you know it. All you need is to get this. I was like, like I didn't say no to her face because I thought I was just gonna be whisked off into a room. And that's where they have me sat down in the chair, just watching like countless pieces of information. So I just come out, just like dressed like them and go, yes, I can. Yes. If you would join our team.
Yeah. So you see, I had joined, I was in college. And it was just one of my friends in my class. And so the one that I was doing, it was about like crypto.
Yeah.
And
okay.
Like Forex. And I had already been trading stocks. So I was like, why not? It's just community to help you trade. It was more than that. Way more than that. You know, and I stayed in it for a while. Like,
how long were you in this for?
I said off and on for about like a year and a half, honestly. Like it was a while and I was paying the whole time. And here's the thing.
So okay.
Some of their products actually did work, like as far as teaching you how to trade.
Right.
But I just couldn't really fully get into like building a team and convincing people. Like, it's not like you're trying to like, hey, you like this? It's like, no, if they say no, you're down, you're shaming them. You're like, you're working a 9-to-5. You need to be trading, blah, blah, blah. Like they got so intense and aggressive with everything. I'm just like, I can't do this. I can't like spend my time downing people and trying to convince them to do something they don't want to do, you know? So
I was about to say, have you seen a film called Boiler Room by any chance?
Boiler Room?
Boiler Room.
Oh, yes. Yes, I have. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Like that sounds exactly what you're building your own little boiler room that's to get everyone on. Oh my
Basically,
God.
Basically that's what it was like. And like I said, it's very intense. It's like, the same meetings every single day, but if you don't go to the meetings and they shame you for not going to the meetings, even if it's on Zoom. So I had like Zoom before the pandemic because everybody, that's how we did our meetings, because it's people in different states.
Yeah.
And if you're not on there, they'll call you out. And then like, it was just crazy. You could freaking be like, went to the hospital, but they don't know. And they'll start calling you out for not being in the meeting. And they're like, oh, well, maybe you should have been in bed. I'm like, whoa. Like some groups were that aggressive. It's pretty crazy because all they really care about is the income from building the team.
Yeah. You're
supposed to be making most of your money from trading, but half of them are liars and lying to the people they were recruiting. So they would copy them doing that. And they'll get them onto their team and they're making money from them instead of the actual product that they're supposed to be making money from.
That's a bit mental. That is a bit mental. So like, I know I'm going off on the tangent with this, but like, this is the thing. What, like you say they would got you to like, oh yeah, trading stocks and shares, or was it like
stocks? Yeah. Well, so I had done stocks before and yeah. I was all right. Like I was in profit and nothing crazy, but I had done like two or three years before he showed me this, and this is Forex. So it was like US dollar versus Canadian dollar type.
Right.
And Bitcoin, everything. So I was like, okay, this is new. And they say it's simpler. So why not learn both aspects, like have the stock and the crypto. And like I said, like some of the products was actually cool. Like it did educate me and I learned how to trade that.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem was with that company, a lot of people didn't actually learn and was just faking their things just to try to get people in, making their money off the recruiting, which would make it a pyramid scheme instead of network marketing. So they said only 10% of your income is supposed to come from the recruiting, and the 90% or 80% is supposed to come from the actual product. But it was quite the opposite of that company.
I think people took the path of least resistance to make that happen. Oh my Lord. Yeah. Oh my Lord. So What would you say was the biggest lesson you picked up from there? Because, like, yeah, it sounds like a bit of a crazy time.
I say the biggest lesson is probably, like, be careful who you put your faith in, basically. Like, I mean, because I know I did try to get, like, some of my friends in and everything. And some of them, like, they did join for a second. But when they left, I wasn't mad at them. I wasn't, like, putting them down like everybody else in the group would be, like, with their friends and everything.
Yeah.
So it's like some people are just doing some things for some money. And you know, you'll start to see, if you pay attention, you'll start to see the genuineness in somebody or the fake love in somebody. So I think it's just pay attention to who you're around. Just not get duped, you know.
Not get duped. It's like going, yeah, come on, man, come on. It's like, I'm like, hey, man, I've got a little, like, scheme for you, like, nothing serious, just like, hey, like, you just need to bring you and a couple of friends, and yeah, we'll be away. You'll be making big money.
It's like, right.
So you were doing this in school. So, like, this is the thing. I have to ask, what did you study in school just out of interest?
Exercise science. So I went to Ball State. Most people don't know what Ball State is. It's a D1 school, but it's small. It's in, like, the MAC-10, if anybody knows what that is. But, yeah, I went there for exercise science. So I always loved sports and played and exercised when I was in high school. I wasn't really sure what I wanted to do. And then I was like, well, I love helping people and I love sports, so why not kind of find something to combine them? And so first I went for athletic training, because, you know, that's the person that helps the injured on the side, or helps prepare them to prevent get injured before the game, like tape,
yeah,
and things like that. So I went for that for the first semester, and I was like, you know what? I think I'm better. I would be more passionate just for the full, instead of being this niche topic of exactly athletic training, I want to learn everything. And so I just switched to exercise science. And it wasn't a problem, because, like, the first semester curriculum is basically the same. Mm. But yeah. So exercise science just compounded in the full. So you could be a physical therapist, athletic trainer, PT. For PT and physical therapist, I would have had to do 2 more years of school, but I just went with the basic exercise science, learned the fundamentals and how the body works and everything. So I still do some side training, but
I do some side training. Now, would you say you are a sort of entrepreneurial person? Because it seems like you talked about, yeah, how you did some trading before you were involved in the group. Let's just call it the group. We won't go into it any further. You're starting your podcast here right now. And, like, yeah, it just seems like you're a person who doesn't like sort of being nailed down to some one sort of specific thing.
I say that's perfect. Like, when I was in middle school, I was a kid who, like, got Halloween candy from trick-or-treating. And then I saved some and then sold it at school when everybody ran out. So I got in trouble for selling on the bus. You're like, you're not allowed to sell candy. I'm like, oh, okay. So I put it away. Wait until I got to school. Say, hey, sneakers for $1. I was that person.
I could just see your principal like, you're not meant to sell candy in there. Where's my 10%? Come on.
Facts. So I don't know. Like, I like this lifestyle, even though it's harder not having something that's, like, secure and you're trying to put all this energy into something. Mm. I just like the possibility of building something that's your own and everything, but I don't like to force that on anybody else. Like, if you want that lifestyle, you can have it.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of work. So I don't feel like forcing that on anybody else, because people talk down, like I said, on people who rather work a 9-to-5 and do things, but it's just preference. If you'd rather put in work to build something that's a lot harder, then do that. But if you're comfortable, you know, having fun and just chilling throughout the week at a 9-to-5, then that's cool too, you know?
Yeah, no, I hear you. No, this is the thing. I think when when people, and I think this is where a lot of people get fooled and deceived with, when people go out there and go, yeah, I'm going to start my own thing, I'm going to make it happen. Yeah, I'll be able to control my own hours. Yeah, like I'll be able to ramp it up if I want to, and I can bring it down. Yeah, so much less stress. Like the reality of that is, yeah, ramp it down. No, it's like, no, there'll be times where I'll be like, yeah, you know what? You know how you said you wanted to do an 8-hour day or something less than that? No, no. 10 hours, 12 hours. Like, how have you been kind of finding the sort of hours doing this podcast, getting things started?
Well, me, I'm kind of going all in right now, just because it's the, like you said, I'm a baby podcaster.
Hey.
it's not just podcasting I want to do. Like, I also want to have a channel with just kind of like being creative. I've always liked art, painting, drawing, doing things like that. But I want to take that into videos with like comedy, because I love comedy.
Yeah.
So, you know, I want to do some sketches and some like YouTube short rants and everything on YouTube. So just really spend all my time planning, making different things, throwing it in the trash or redoing it. And it's like, I still train on the side. And then I work like a warehouse job 2 days a week. That's like 12-hour shifts. So I can get that in. And so it's like 2 days a week I have my job that gets me like the base bread, and then I have like the training people I do. Mm-hmm. And then everything else is like I can schedule around and like just work things out. Some of friends invite me out to things, and I'm like, I'm filming a podcast, I gotta do this. Like you have to give up, you have to sacrifice some things in the beginning. You can't just always be out with everybody, you know, but to me it's worth it, just to build what I'm trying to build. I don't need to be out like, well, what more are you gonna do than we did last time? You know, like I'll catch up with you next time. If it's not wrong with my schedule, then I'll catch up with you next time. It's cool. Like, I don't know. It's not like a specific hours. I'm just really trying to go all in. Maybe I'll work 8 to 10 hours one day, maybe a little bit more, but maybe the next day I'll be like, you know what? I got a lot done today. I don't have a meeting today. I'll go do something. Like yesterday, I took my first dance class.
Your first dance class? What type of dance are we talking here? Tango?
Like
merengue?
No, it was like hip hop dance class. One of my other friends I met out here, she teaches like some hip hop dance classes. And so, you know, I just went to support and it was really fun. I'm actually probably going to go again. So
wait, like this, is it one of those cases where you thought you were a good dancer, and then when you went there, you were like, maybe I need to go back for more classes?
No. So I think I'm a good average dancer, you know what I'm saying? But whenever I would have like people who actually take dance classes or professional dancers or aspiring to be professional, every time I see them and I know they do that, I always say I can't dance, just so they under expect. You know, I always want you to under expect. So she said, can you dance? I said, no, I'm horrible.
No.
And then when I was in the dance class, she's like, oh, you're not bad. And I was like, okay, yeah, that's right. But I'd rather you say that than me say I'm amazing. I definitely need some work.
Yeah, or you've got to like the day you go in and you play that undercard thinking you're like, and she looks at you and goes, yeah, you do need a little bit of work. You're like, oh, there's that. Wait, Darius, where are you going? I'm just gonna sit over here. my feelings. It's like, I didn't want to,
you know, I actually did that at the end. At the end, they were recording, and I was like, yeah, I'm not about to be recorded. So y'all ain't going to catch me on here.
Just like, do the butterfly. No. Keep that over there. No, I have to say, look, you said you went, like, you're going in hard with the podcasting. And look, I've got to look at your equipment there. For someone who's done something like, about 20 podcasts, you're like rocking the Shure mic right there. Like rocking
out the gate. I had to make sure I Because here's the thing. My brother always laughs because even when I did, like, seriously, when I did the network marketing with the group, I went all in. Like, I was, everything I decide that I'm doing, I go all in. So when I said, you know what, I'm going to build this podcast. And I know before I had done, like, some things on YouTube, like some, like, small vlogs. And I actually got a decent amount of followers, but I deleted the channel. And I was mad that I did it because I just didn't stick to it. Yeah, and I got like a few hundred subscribers, but it's just a weird point of transitioning from college to moving out here to Arizona, and it was just really weird. And so I don't know why I deleted the videos and everything, but I'm like, okay, this time I'm going all in. I'm not deleting anything. I'm just sticking to it. So I was like, out the gate, I'm gonna want to make this money back if I actually buy these things, and I'm not gonna wait to upgrade. I'm just gonna do it because that if I get some cheap things. That gives me an excuse to be like, this isn't that much money, you know, it's whatever. And so I'm like, let me go ahead and get the big boy things and just go ahead and go all in because I'm gonna make this money back some way or other and just go all in. And audio, I feel like is the biggest part of a podcast. So I was like, I'll get that before I get the camera. And then I ended up getting the camera like 2 months later. So, you know.
Because, like, you're sitting there, you're talking on a mic, which is, about $750, and you've got two of them, because I've seen your YouTube channel, it's right here, sitting in front of me. It's like, damn. And it looks like you've got a studio as well. Is that correct?
So, I turned my living room to a studio. I live in an apartment, and one bedroom, and, you know, I was like, I'm not going to pay for a studio right now. Don't get that type of bread. So I'm just going to do what I have to do. Turn that living room into a studio. Got rid of the other chairs I got. Got two chairs off Facebook Marketplace that were just as good. And have put up wallpaper to make it look like brick. And I put my face on the wall. I have a logo. So I'm like, all right, my face is going on the wall. Yep.
It's just above you. I can see it.
yeah, right here.
There you go. That's like, there you go. Oh, no. Oh, nice. Like, you know what? I think with regards to when people sort of go for stuff, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. They kind of like, when they say that, they kind of like playing that little game with themselves, if you get what I mean. It's like they're kind of like sort of like going, yeah, I'm going to do this. And they're kicking the can down the road, but they don't sort of make the time investment or the financial investment. But when they do make that sort of financial investment, like they buy, say, as you said, low end stuff, or it's like something they can just put to one side. But your sort of attitude does like going, okay, you know what? What's the best mic to get? What's the like most decent headphones you could get? And let me turn my apartment into a studio. That is balls to the wall, hard in. Like you can't, you're not, there's no playing with that. And like, it's like,
I know it's the weird mentality. Like, I mean, at first I feel like most people have it about something. It's just that like everything I do, I pretty much do it. So I don't think it's that weird. I just think if you find your passion and you really want something, you're going to do what it takes to get there. And I have big goals for my podcast and the things I want to do. So I'm just like, why not start out, you know, trying to go hard. And I know like the beginning isn't going to be the best. Like I've had some issues with the equipment and recording the camera dropping off and cutting video, but like it's trial and error in the beginning. It's a new thing. And I just know, even though I got the best equipment, it still is about how you use the equipment. And so I'm constantly learning and trying to improve each podcast. So that's just a mentality thing, you know, I have to stick it out, and it's something I decided I'm going to do.
Yeah,
so I do have a question for you though.
Yeah, go for it.
I noticed you like you upload yours like twice, three times a week. What made you decide to do that instead of the like casual one time a week or every other week?
Like basically when I first started this podcast, it was like once a week, uploading once a week, and it was like, okay, no problem at all. But then I sort of like I got my next gear, where it was like, not like when I mean my next gear, like next gear in a bike. So it was like, right, my sort of work intensity went up. Partly because, like global pandemic, I was working, but I was put on furlough. So I had all of this time, but I was like, okay, right. With all this time I've got here, I'm like getting paid technically by the government and by like kind of through my workplace. And it was like, right, go for it. See what you can do. See how many episodes you can do. And like, I was like, I was looking at doing three, but it was like, I wouldn't really have enough time for each episode to breathe, if you get what I mean. Especially with like a small following I had at the time. And I still got, no illusions, I still got a small following. And at this present time, it's just like about pushing it forward. With two episodes, with two episodes a week, like I have now, like a year and a bit in, I have now produced almost 3 years of content in comparison to doing like, once a week. So like, this is the thing, exponential growth out off the scale. And plus I needed to get as much time on the mic, talking to as many people as possible, because they're like this, what we're doing right now, having a conversation, like people like, I have a conversation all the time. Oh, it's easy. No, it's not. You try talking to a stranger randomly and like about whatever, you just like, it takes some craft to it. It takes some work to it. And like, basically I'm still learning my craft. Look, I will say this now, 150 episodes in, 152 with yourself, still learning. 300 episodes from now, I'll still be learning and always trying to work and refine my craft. Look, and I'll take to anyone who was like, like yourself doing like this for the first time or just starting out. It's a long road, a very long road. And like, look, people like, what is the optimum amount of podcasts you should put out? For me, I say two for myself, but like this is the thing, I'm most probably looking to put something else out there just so I can help make this a little bit more findable. One of the things they don't tell you about audio podcasts when you start, it's not the easiest thing to find on the regular podcast channels. You've got to do a lot of other work, sort of marketing, to get that to happen. And when you hear all of this stuff from, okay, people like, oh yes, this person's got a podcast, which is now like 3 weeks in and they're on 50,000 downloads like each and every time. Like, look at that person. If that person is just a regular Joe, everyday person, no, they're cheating. I don't care what they say, they are cheating big time. Now, if that person is a celebrity YouTuber, like they've got a platform somewhere else, which they use to deliver into their podcast, mazel tov. They've been working many years to build their audience to supply them with this new thing. And yeah, I would say whatever's right for you as a like producer or podcaster, the king of podcasts, and it's not Joe Rogan, like Tim Ferriss, like Entrepreneurs on Fire. He did a podcast every single day for years. Every single day. Bam, 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 bam. And like, it worked out nicely for him. And like, this is me. That's him. And for me, I say two. Like, for yourself, it might be one. You never know. It might be five. I don't know. It comes down to what you want to do.
Right. That makes sense. I don't know. I just started out with one, just because I'm still trying to network and get with people out here, and I've never done anything on Zoom before, so I wasn't sure how it worked. And so I still have to, I've done things on Zoom. I just haven't like recorded a podcast or anything.
Yeah.
That. So I was waiting until I've done my first Zoom one, to see how it is. And then maybe I could start doing that. But yeah, so right now I've just been doing one, just because I actually have to get him here in the apartment studio. And And so yeah, I don't have as much traffic as like I would like to be able to have to be able to do too. But you know, if I'm able to like, you know, start doing some Zoom ones or get more, then yeah, I'll for sure you know, go ahead and knock out two, because that's what I feel like the podcasts I do, like two of them do like twice a week and two of them do like once a week. So it's like both of those work, obviously. So I just have to figure out which one suits the best for me, like you're saying.
Yeah, like this is the thing. one of my first podcasts I did remotely, like this is like before I discovered the joys and the power of Zoom. And like I used to set up Skype with OBS. All I've got to say is, like, and I say this like from the heart, Skype is an awful program to use when you use it in combination with OBS. Awful. Like my first time going on a remote podcast, I did a couple of podcasts like with my lady, like with like friends, mm-hmm. like who would be here, and was like, okay. And I was like, it was with a gentleman named Liam Thomas. And like, yeah, sat down, I checked it, I double checked it, I triple checked, this was working smoothly. I was like, okay, it was all set up, it was good to go. I was like, no problem. Bam, started it. As soon as Liam came on, started it. No. It was like, didn't work, didn't like put anything. I was like, okay, yeah, rubbing my head. To much of my embarrassment, yeah, if it was just down to me on that day, that podcast would have crashed and burned. But Liam, fortunately, was also a podcaster himself. So he was like, yeah, I'll record it and I'll send you. I was like, okay. And like, I struggled on with Skype for a good couple of time, about a month or so after that, just as like 2 weeks before everyone discovered Zoom in the world, I was like, I found Zoom. I was like, I mean, what is this? So I was like, okay. I was like, oh my God, it's so much easier. So much easier. I like, yeah. And was like, never look back again. But yeah, but there is, I would say when you're doing it over Zoom, like there is a slight sort of remove. There is a slight ingredient missing, because when you meet someone in your studio and you're having that conversation, you can feel the energy from that person coming across more naturally, and the sort of body language cues you might pick up on when like someone's in your presence, there is that. But yeah, but that using Zoom, it's been good. I've managed to do over 140 episodes using this, and I've like spoken to people all around the world, so I would not discount it. It's very good.
Right. And I listened to your it was just the audio, I think it was on Apple or well, but do you do like a video upload also, or do you just do
yeah, basically like all out to the where you can get any podcast from, and I do a YouTube, like put it up on YouTube as well. Like with regards to doing clips, like it's one of those things where time is a factor. And because I'm a one man band, I can't always get around to doing it. So like I have got a clips channel out there, which is kind of dormant, but yeah, when I can get to it, if I had more time, and when I did have, even when I had more time, it's a case of sitting down, going through the clips and then trying to, it takes up a lot of time. But yes, one of the things, and I'll say this to you, because hey, if I can, like if it can help you grow, that'd be great, and it must really be good for me as well. One of the things I was most really looking at to sort of be a little bit more findable, because I spoke to one person like just the other day, and we were talking about doing a live stream.
So
basically using a live stream to just basically use that as another avenue to hopefully get more eyeballs out there, more ears out there for content. So yeah.
Yeah, so I've heard that for both YouTube and Instagram. So like YouTube, it helps get your watch hours up. So like if you have regular people who normally will watch your things, and you set a premiere, They'll see what time you're going to go live or what time the thing is going to premiere, and then they'll be ready for it if they're going to watch live. And you could be doing a giveaway or whatever, but that could last 2 hours. Maybe they might not stay the full 2 hours normally, but maybe they only do 20 minutes. But now you got 150 people or 50 people staying for the full 2 hours. That gets your watch time up. And you're able to make monetization faster, which that isn't everything on YouTube, because you still have to get sponsorships for, like, that's how most people make most of their money. But it helps get your watch time up to get that monetization. Then on Instagram, when you go live, you connect with someone else. So say if you're on Instagram instead of doing this, both of our followers get the notification. So your followers can see me and my followers can see you. And then after I hop off, you could go live with someone else. And then once again, their followers get the notification. So there you get their followers to see. And if they like your content, then I'll follow you and you grow your fan base. So I've heard, I've heard both of those. I still have to put those into application, but I've definitely, been thinking about going live and trying things on Instagram and trying to see how big I can get alive. You know,
maybe
hit 10 people back to back to back and see if all their followers will join. Well,
I put it this way, like, do execute, make it happen. And that's why I simply say to you, if you're not doing that, it's not going to happen. But, like, this is the thing. What would you say is, like, one of the sort of biggest lessons you've learned so far with, like, doing podcasting?
So there's a thing called Murphy's Law, and it's science, but so it has two meanings, but basically the one I'm talking about is anything that can go wrong will go wrong.
Yes.
And that's not supposed to be pessimistic. It's supposed to be, don't be, the right word, like, don't be too casual, basically. It's like, if you don't double check your camera if it's recording, it's probably not recording. If you don't double check your mic, it's probably not going to pick up for audio. So I've had a few things go wrong, whether it be the mic cutting out early or the camera cutting off because I didn't check the memory on the card or whatever. And so it's like, now I just, every time, even if I think it's cool, like, obviously this is going to work, like, I still double check, make sure everything's cool. Even like I try to set up at least like 30 minutes before the podcast person or guest is supposed to be here. And then right before we start, I double check everything again. I just make sure everything is cool just because I'll be so upset to do an hour podcast and realize one of the things weren't working. And I feel like I wasted my time and their time. And so that's probably the biggest lesson is don't be too prideful to double check in front of your guest or anything. Just make sure everything works and make sure you guys get the most value out of your time. I think that's the biggest lesson I've learned.
So with that, and like, you know what, it's an important lesson to learn because every time equipment is equipment. And when you sort of start to rely on it without checking it, that's when it will come in and trip you up. No doubt.
Sure.
So this is the thing. Like, so do you have a goal or a target, say, for like the next 3 months, 6 months, or year? Or is it just you're just taking it bit like blow by blow?
So my goals are big. So I'm actually working on a few things. For my fans that are already fans, because I only have a few. So about like 51, 55, I don't know, subscribers. And so, I don't know, I've been doing it for like 2 months almost. So now it's like, I'm not monetized yet, but I wanna start giving back to show I appreciate my fans. Mm. And I wanna start like doing like not contest, but like a way to give back that also is a contest in a way, but also promotes my channel at the same time. And so just trying to think of things like that. I'm paying attention to all the trends on YouTube. What are the biggest channels? Why are they the biggest channels? Mm-hmm. Who are the biggest things? Are podcasts, giveaways, and challenges on YouTube. Those are like the three biggest things. So I'm finding a way to combine all of them to take advantage of each category. And so I have big plans. Like it sounds crazy, but in the next few months, I plan to be like, mark my words, I plan to be like high, at least like in the 5 digits of subscribers on my channel in the next few months, if everything plans out, works out how I plan for it to work out. Like I said, I don't have anything set. I'm still working on a different website type thing and things like that. But if everything works out how I plan it to work out, I plan to be, 5-figure subscribers at least. Just getting the ball rolling fully.
Okay.
Yeah. So like I said, I haven't tested it. It's just theories in my mind. I'm that person that thinks that just tries to find new ways to take control of algorithms. Like you're probably surprised when I started listening to like all the Instagram facts about like getting people and getting their followers. It's because I pay attention to those things. I like try to take advantage of anything I can. And that kind of sounds bad, but like in a good way. Like I just try to pay attention to all the small nuances and like basically like hack the algorithm. Like those are the best people who can find a way to hack whatever it is that they're doing. Those people grow the fastest and those people are able to take advantage of trends and things that are going on before it's gone,
That's going to be a challenge, because a real big challenge, because this is the thing. High 5 figures for a YouTube channel. Hey, don't get me wrong. Yeah, it is. It can be done. It has been done. And like, you know what I mean? On like podcasting. Yeah, it can be done. It has been done. Yeah. But like this, how can I put it? Quite a lot of those type of podcasts, like I've always seen it being like 2 people and they kind of react to the sort of news, if you get what I mean.
Yeah. I know exactly what you mean. I know what you mean. That's what I was thinking too. And so, but I heard this thing and it was like, write down your goal and the day you want to do it by, and you do it, and then you multiply it by 10.
Wow.
And that's what you aim for. And it's not to say you're actually going to get it.
Yeah.
But if you believe you actually can get it, like if you convince yourself you believe you actually are going to get it, which you possibly can if you like find all the right avenues. Of course, everything takes a little bit of luck. Like a lot of it is hard work and skill and smarts, but then a little bit of luck comes along with it. And so hopefully that little bit of luck comes along with me. But if I just have the hard work, skill, and smarts, maybe I can get half of it. But that half of it is still 5 times bigger than the original goal I had.
True.
So that's really all I'm aiming for, is just shooting for the moon or whatever. What's the saying? Aim for the star, shoot for the moon.
Yeah.
Something like that. But that's pretty much what I'm doing. Is I actually believe I could do it, but if I don't do it, at least I'll be halfway there and 5 times bigger than what the original goal was.
Like, it sounds like you're lining up another partner in crime with regards to this somewhere like down the line. Am I right or am I wrong?
I mean, halfway. There's another person that is also going to be starting a channel, but starting something different than a podcast. And then, of course, we're going to collaborate. That's not all of it, is what I'm saying. But yeah. Pretty much there's a person that's starting a different type of channel that will also like collaborate, cross promote, things like that. Really just trying to do everything, like staying central to podcasts and the things I want to do. Like podcasts is once a week, with various content, whether it be a sketch I'm able to record. Like by sketch, I mean comedy sketch. Like I'm really inspired by like Dave Chappelle and Key and Peele. those are always the funniest sketches to me. Dave Chappelle, Key and Peele, those are the funniest sketches to me. So I'm always inspired by them. And if I could record those once a month or so, maybe a little other content, like on my other channel that I used to do before I deleted it. I did like some vlog rants and people like those. So, but those will vary in between, but the main thing will be podcasts once a week on my YouTube channel. And so that's really, I'm just trying to, like I said, find the hack to be able to do what I love
to entertain people, you know, and make money off of it.
No, I hear you. Now, this is the thing, like, one of the things, okay, we're looking at your channel, and one of the things which did surprise me, Crazy Lady Stills.
Yeah. So I actually posted that twice. So one of them is just a clip from the podcast.
Yeah.
And you'll see that one didn't do as well. But then once I tunified it, for people who don't know what tunified means, I turned it to a cartoon. It got more views. And then when I posted it on TikTok, it actually did the best on TikTok than it did on Instagram or YouTube. Like, it, on TikTok, it got like 800 views.
Okay, that's good.
But yeah. And it's still not a lot compared to some people. But for me, it's like, I'm just right now, that's like the sixth thing I posted on there. And so like, that to me, that made me happy. But it didn't do as well on YouTube or on Instagram. And those are my main two platforms. I'm still trying to find what's the best content for those and what works the best. But that was just a funny story from the podcast. And I decided to just try to tunify it and see what people thought. Yeah. People liked it. So, but it's expensive. I didn't do it myself. I had to pay somebody to do it.
Oh, I see. Like I was about to say, like, you got talent with the old animation. Yeah, I'm liking it.
I know, but now I'm learning. I'm taking a few classes, trying to learn how to do some 2D animation so I can do it myself. Cause I'm like, even though it's a lot of work at the beginning, it's cheaper to learn how to do it myself and do some basic things than pay somebody every single time I want to get it done.
Yeah, but you know what? What I would simply say to you is this: your time is important. Okay.
Right.
Okay. Look, if you can do it yourself and it takes you like 50 hours, or you can pay someone and they can get that out in like, 10, like, you've got 40 hours where you can do a hell of a lot more things. You can have guests and everything like this. Not one of the things, and like, I fall into this trap myself, like building a team around you, like getting that team together. I'm like, I've been doing this for a year and a bit, like, well, 18 months, and it's still me by myself. And building that team, that's something I need to work on over the next few years. So it's not just all about myself. And so I can sort of help exponentially grow rather than sort of just be this one fit, like me, just by myself. Like, building a team, I would say, will help you loads. And the reason why I say this to you is because, look, you work 12 hours a day for like your warehouse job. You train people on the side to get this like going. You change your front room in your apartment into a studio. You put all of this investment in to like with equipment and like, money, which, come on now, money is something which everyone needs. You are like, you've got a certain drive about you, and if you really want to maximize that, hit that five figure growth on your YouTube channel and then some. You can't do it by yourself, and I'm just saying that not as a disrespect to you or anything like that. It's just like, if you're building something great, if you're building something big, it never gets done by yourself.
I definitely agree. Once I get some income from the channel, I'll definitely hire like an editor, because like you said, I still edit the podcast too. So once I start getting some income from that, it's going like, the first income I get from the channel is going straight back into the channel, like whether it be like for more of the tunes or for an editor to edit while I'm able to do more things, like you're saying. That is one thing I learned is time is more valuable in a way. Like if you can pay somebody to do something so you can get more other things done, whether it be enjoyment purposes or for your job, then that's important. I just thought it was another skill to learn during the beginning, because like like that 60 second short, because I didn't make the characters or anything. It was actually like 45 seconds, but a 60 second short is like $380. So I'm like, if I'm trying to do that once a month, and I could pay for a course for about the same, and I can do a few, even if it takes a week or so, because I'm just trying to do it once a month.
Yeah.
But you know, once I'm able, once if I'm seeing people are getting enjoyment from that, and I'm getting subscribers from that, plus getting some monetization from that because it's getting viewed, then of course I'm gonna take that money and put it in to get more, because that's what it's doing.
Yeah.
But yeah, I definitely agree with what you're saying. A team is something that you know, I look forward to having, just because one, it's helping other people, you know, succeed if they're part of a team that's growing, and two, like you said, it gives me more time to do what I want. But yeah,
I'm liking it. Now, like, this is the thing. There is so much potential in like what we do with regards to like podcasting, everything like this. It's mm-hmm. just about harnessing some of that and getting that growth out there. Well, getting our podcast episodes out there and, yeah, harnessing some of that growth. What is apart from the cult, like, what has been some of, like, the sort of, what do you say, the craziest topics you've talked about on your podcast?
Craziest, or
the most interesting, it's up to you.
Well, like I said, I talked about stealing that one time. For those, I mean, you can still go see the animated, but one of the guests I have, they were working at Hobby Lobby, and this girl just like filled up her cart and just walked out the door. Like, she didn't just walk right past the cashier, just walked out the door, and then the boss had to go chase her in the parking lot. Throughout the parking lot, I was just chasing it around until you get the cart back. But yeah, pretty much. So this one isn't posted yet, but I will give one on this insight. I have a friend from Australia that's out here, and so he's gotten a very unwarm welcome to America. So like last week or 2 weeks ago. Well, first, he was leaving his job at the gym, and they were looking for some wanted person in Phoenix, and there was a helicopter flying above him, and he was driving, and they shined the light on his car. And they thought he was the person that got into his car, and so they stopped him and everything, and so he was stopped by the police. The helicopter shines light on him because they thought he was a wanted person that stole a car, but it wasn't him. And so then, like, 2 weeks later, like 3 weeks later, he had another experience where he got a gun pulled him at a stoplight from a guy who didn't have his license on but thought he cut him off. So yeah, it was pretty crazy. He had a very unwarm welcome to America. So you know, on the podcast with him, we just talk about the differences between America and Australia, and it's pretty interesting, just the comparable differences and the small things that make a difference, you know.
Good God. Oh my Lord.
Yeah, man, pretty crazy.
I'm here in America. I wonder what I'm going to do next. Such a world of opportunity.
Right. Right.
Don't move. Get down.
Exactly. I'm from America. I don't even know what I would have done.
No. <He's> like...
Yeah, he's experienced more of the stereotype than me.
Oh my Lord, just like, yeah. It's like, you're Australian. Good luck. stamp. Let's see what you make it. So what do you mean by that? Don't worry. It's okay.
Exactly.
Have your hands where we can see him at all times.
Oh my gosh, exactly. Yeah, he wants to go back. He's here for his wife. His wife is American, so
okay.
That's why he's here. he came at the end of the Trump presidency, like the last year, so.
Right.
He got to experience what it was like to actually be here during that, and the change and everything. So he just thought it was very interesting. It was always interesting talking to him.
Yeah.
And hearing his thoughts and everything.
Yeah. No, like Australia's perspective of America, especially Phoenix. When I hear Phoenix, like apart from the Phoenix Suns and Phoenix State University, that's the first like couple of things what come to mind when I hear about Phoenix.
Oh, you know what? I'm actually not even from Phoenix. Like, I grew up in Indiana. I moved to Phoenix the same time that my Australian friend did. That's how we found out about each other and knew each other. Kind of just okay. So I'm new. I'm like a new Arizonian. This is like the second half of my first summer here with 120 degree weather. I don't know. You guys don't use degrees over there, right?
Look. It's the UK is weird in that regard because we use Celsius, but we also sometimes use like degrees, so Fahrenheit. So it's like, yeah, there was a, like when I was growing up, it was, they used both.
Yeah.
Like in more like to Celsius, but yeah.
that's 48.8 degrees Celsius.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, thank you very much for that.
I'll double check.
You know what? I don't want to experience that type of heat. But when I first came to America, first time coming over to America, I was working as a summer camp counselor in Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
Sitting on the plane, like waiting to like land in and like, okay, yes, it's 85, like 85 Fahrenheit. And I was like, okay, yeah, I've handled that heat. That's not a problem. I went from a nice air-conditioned aircraft to a nice air-conditioned transporter into a nice air-conditioned airport. I was like, okay. As I got out of customs and like walking towards the entrance, they had a sort of dark tunnel, which was like a mist spray tunnel. But you could... At the end of it, the heat shimmering off of the tarmac.
you can see it.
I was like, going, the doors were open, and like I was about, maybe 5 to 8 feet away from that door. I was like, I got under the mist tunnel. I was like, oh my God. Oh my God, came out of the tunnel into sunshine. I was like, oh God damn.
That he slaps you in the face real quick.
Yeah. It was just thick air. I was like, okay, let me get into the van. Let me just sit down and go to sleep. Because oh my God, as soon as they turned on the air conditioning, I was on it.
Facts. No, I will say that is a difference because I'm from Indiana. So yeah. And I have family in Virginia, so I've been to both. And both Indiana and Virginia are very humid.
Yes.
So you will see the heat waves and everything. That looks crazy walking into, like if we're not used to it. But Arizona is is the opposite. It's very unhumid.
Yeah.
So it's dry heat. So you don't really see those heat waves. And it's not thick air. It's just hotness. Like you walked outside and get baked real quick. Like I turn into a turkey if I go try to go to a pool. But no, for like I could dip in the pool, come out, and I'm dry within like 2 minutes. Like it's crazy. Like I seriously think I'm like cooking. Like I don't really go outside during the summer right now.
Loving it. Yes, I done Arizona. So. I have to ask now, this is a thing. You talk about many different things. Like what, I have to ask this. If there was an action film you would say is your favorite action film, which action film would that be?
Inception.
Inception?
Yes. I'm a big fan of all his work. Of all Christopher Nolan's work.
Yeah.
And so... Inception is probably my top film of all time. And that sounds crazy to some people, but you know, that's just mine, you know? And I just love his, the way he thinks and the way he constructs a movie and does a plot for him, by the way it twists. And some people don't like the twist because he does the twist every time, but
yeah,
it's different. It's unique thinking. And I just think Inception was just a really good film. It had a lot of action. I love action. Mm-hmm. Had a little bit of, like, you know, the comedy, snarky remarks. And so, you know, I just found it very, very interesting. The ending was pretty cool too. Like, it let the person believe what they want to believe, whether he's still in the dream or if he actually made it back. So, for those who didn't see it, I kind of just ruined it, but not really. If you haven't seen it, it's just been out for like years, but like, you need to see it. Have you seen that one?
I have seen Inception. Look, this is the thing with Inception. I got to say, as a film, I enjoyed it as a film. But like as an action film, I go, yeah, there was like some good action bits in it, but it was like more of the sort of like, okay, the concept, the storyline, the visual special effects, which all culminated into that one film. I was like, yeah, that was like, yeah, it was a good film. Very good film. I can watch, like, if it was on right now, I could easily watch it again. It's like not one of those films where like I'm like one and done. But yes, but
right.
Yeah. But sometimes I do have issues with Mr. Nolan himself because, yeah, oh yeah, I do. It's like, one of his films, Dunkirk. Like, okay.
Oh, you like Dunkirk?
Oh, no, like, look, Dunkirk, and he is a Brit. Dunkirk, 350,000 troops were trying to escape Germany, the Nazis at that time. And they were all stranded on the beach waiting for ships to get them out. You look at that beach during Dunkirk, look, it was like, it was about 10 people like, standing around like it was a cookout. Come on. I was like, what the hell?
Yeah.
It was like one of the finest moments in British, like in that, during that wartime, where people came along, the ships came in, like normal people, just rescuing soldiers, left, right, and center, and you didn't have that type of scale to it whatsoever. So there's a couple of times where it's just like, and like Interstellar.
Yeah. Well, you know, like, I feel like if anybody chooses a Christopher Nolan film, most people choose Interstellar. Whenever I talk to them, they choose Interstellar because they feel like it's like a love story and people like that. Because I mean, that's basically what it is. It's basically a love story because they say that the thing that transcends all time is love. That's not my favorite one. I do like it, but like, I feel like that's like the number one I ask. When I ask Christopher Nolan, they say Interstellar.
Okay.
Well, yeah. Why didn't you like Interstellar?
So basically, look, love the visual effects, love the robots, love the whole black hole, love that all. But, okay, when they find the ancient artifact thing and like they're there and I don't care, like, spoilers, watch out, here we go. Like, and yeah. It turns out, oh, it was him all along who was in this thing, what messed with his watch. And it was him all along when this went not, and it was him. I was like going, come on now. It's like, come on now. I was like,
Yeah. Yeah.
You see, you agree.
The thing is, though, like, okay. I thought the same thing. I thought, like, why not just say, hey, it's me. Like, hey, it's your future self. But they did it in a way towards, like, it was limited time. Like, he needed to get it done. They made it feel that way. Even though he could access any time in the past, they made it feel like it was limited time, the way they cut the clips and did everything. So they had the emotions, the tensions rising, and had to where he had to do it quickly, where it was just a coordinates, bop, bop, bop. And like, I don't know. I feel like out of like sci-fi movies, like I don't really watch a whole bunch of sci-fi movies, but out of the ones I've watched, I feel like he's done that type of thing the best, because all of them do the same type of thing where it's like, it was actually the person, or it was the thing, it was the future self. And like, I don't know. I feel like he did it the best. Maybe I'm just standing, but I think it was good. You know, I just like the direction, just the chooses for the cuts and the way they interlock the scenes to have like the tensions rising the whole time until the climax happens. I don't know. Just my preference. Who do you have like a favorite director or a favorite like your action? You asked me about action film. Like what's yours?
Now, favorite action film. Now, have you seen The Raid?
The Raid. I don't think I've seen The Raid.
You have not seen The Raid. Okay. you need to watch this. Like Indonesian, like I think it's Indonesian, but like, yeah, like a group of like a police squad task force go into this apartment block, which is basically controlled by criminals. And then basically they're trying to get the head criminal. They get in and then now the tables turn and they need to get out. All I'll simply say to you is this. If you like your martial arts, watch The Raid and watch The Raid 2. And like, yeah, okay. Come back to me and you'll thank me. And that's what I'll say to you. I can't say anything else.
I'll put it on my list. After show, I love movies, so I'll definitely check it out. I don't know how I haven't seen it, but I'll definitely check it out.
But like, if we're talking about cinematic glory, like great film, in my opinion, my favorite is Goodfellas. I don't know if you've seen that. Period piece, like New York gangsters, and like basically cinematography, wonderful storyline, outstanding, like cast out of this world, and like basically. The music, what goes with it, the score, everything
right.
Like gels together into like a perfect blend. And I got to say, like I look at Ray Liotta and go, how comes you have not been in more better stuff? I was just like, eat at that and then he fizzled away. But yeah.
Right. Yeah, Goodfellas is a classic. If I had to choose a classic and it wasn't Goodfellas, I'd probably choose Pulp Fiction.
Okay, yeah.
I feel like a lot of people know that one. And it was an odd film. The first one I saw, I was like, this is very odd, but you know, it's compelling. Like it makes you want to rewatch it and everything. So I would choose probably Pulp Fiction as my classic film to go along with.
Yeah. I've got to simply say is, yeah. God help you if you have to hide a watch. That's what it goes. Yeah. Now, what do you like? I have to ask this. What do you think the future holds for you in the next sort of 3 years for you?
Well, you know, I feel like hopefully like my plans work along with the channel. Like I said, a combination of, you know, Mr. Beast, Joe Rogan type. Like it sounds like they wouldn't go together, but I don't know if you know who Mr. Beast is, but his channel.
Mr. Beast.
So that's kind of ideas I'm coming along with. Like I said, I'm combining the top type of channels, whether it be podcasts and challenges and everything. So a combination of those two, be on the lookout for it. But those two and hopefully my plans go well. So pretty much growth, but also. You said it earlier, I'm kind of have an entrepreneurial mind and mindset. So like, that's not where I want to stop. I don't want to stop at having the big YouTube channel. I have a bunch of followers. Like I actually want to give back and help people and do a lot of things to, you know, grow us as a society. So I just, hopefully, you know, if I'm able to get the following so I can get the money, hopefully I have a few like, whether it be communities or organizations that are able to, you know, just give back to the community and you know, have something for people. I don't know, like, I just want to have a few things to, you know, leave a legacy and help people along the way. if that makes sense.
Yeah. You know? No, it does.
Whether it be a community or like a way I'm able to provide jobs or maybe like after I learn how to really work all the equipment and institute and have a team and everything, I can teach people how to do the same thing because now tech is a part of life. Like when I was growing up, like people said it older than me, they're like, when I was growing up, I didn't have stuff. But even when I was growing up, I didn't have a phone until I was high school, basically. So it's but now that people have iPads, babies have iPads, like 3 years old. So, you know, tech is a part of life now. So if I could like do something with tech and I don't know, I just have a lot of ideas that I have to work out. Mm. But in 3 years, I just see myself having a big community where I'm able to, you know, provide and known for helping people, not necessarily just the podcast or just the skits or things I do, but known for the organizations and businesses I'm able to build.
No, outstanding. Outstanding. Loving it. Okay. Now, I know I've jumped from one place to another, but this is going to be the last question. It's most probably going to be the most important question. Okay. We briefly talked about film and like this thing. Now, if there was one movie you had to replace the whole cast with the Muppets from the Muppet Show, and then you had one human, which film would that be?
Oh, that's a hard question. One human and the rest of the cast are Muppets.
Yep.
You know, I guess I like to see Deadpool fighting a bunch of Muppets. him getting taken down by some Muppets, maybe. I love Deadpool, Ryan Reynolds. I'll keep Ryan Reynolds as Deadpool because he's just a funny guy. And I guess all the X-Men can be Muppets and everybody else is just some Muppets and he's getting taken down by some Muppets.
That is some real thinking right there.
that's a funny question. I've had got asked a question like that. That's really just off the top. I don't know. I think that would be it, you know. that's a pretty good one.
Oh, there you go. Oh, loving it, loving it. Okay. Can you tell the lovely people out there how they can find you? How they can find you on these webs?
On Instagram, _ Darius Does It. Darius, and then Does It, no space. YouTube is just Darius Does It. And I mean, that's it pretty much. TikTok is the same thing Darius Does It, but I really don't post on there. I'm trying to figure out my TikTok content. But yeah, basically Instagram and YouTube. Go ahead and check me out there. And hopefully I got some content that you like.
Excellent. Yeah. Darius, I've got to say thank you for coming on today. You have been outstanding. Yeah, please check out. I'll be putting links into the description. So yes, track him down. Find him. Help grow his following. Yeah, you've been awesome today. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me. This was fun. This is really fun, honestly.
The pleasure. The pleasure's all mine, sir. The pleasure's all mine. He will get that check in the post. I don't spend it yet. I'll just say that. But yes, let me say this to you, my friends, my life warriors. Thank you for staying, watching the podcast. I would like to just simply say, please stay well, stay safe, be awesome. Be excellent. Be fantastic. Be all the positive bees you can be in this world and then some. And yeah, until next time. Woo. Peace. Oh, yeah. And we are.